This is the Friday, June 24th, 2016 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Mark Gold. Mark, welcome back.
Nice to be back.
We've got another Brexit question for you. This one is from Kent in Grinnell, Iowa. He wants to know, will Brexit cause more countries to leave the EU, and what could that do to us here in North America?
Well, I think the first implication will be Scotland leaving Great Britain. I think that'll be the first one. Then we'll have to see what Greece does. But there could be, you know, Greece, Portugal, Ireland, and several others that may want to follow suit. So is this the end of the EU as we know it? We're on a slippery, or they're on a slippery slope here because of this. This has shocked a lot of people. All the analysts who said this was not going to happen and the stock market was at record highs all got it wrong. Every one of them got it wrong. Now, what's going to happen here on in? This could be a straw that breaks a camel's back out here, so I think you've got to be very concerned about that. That'll put a pinning underneath the dollar. More people will want to go to where the security is, and right now that security is here in the U.S., which is why we've seen the bond market so strong and the dollar so strong.
Dollar closed over 95, U.S. dollar index closed over 95. What's our, do you have a ceiling in mind? I mean, what's the next major level of resistance that could help stop the dollar from climbing towards?
It's even money is the next logical place. Okay. You're at 95, you go to even money. Are we going to see that? I don't know. At some point, if the pound trades even with the dollar, if the pound goes down to 110 and the dollar goes to 110 and we're at even money, I don't see it going much beyond that. But could that be a trade? It may be selling the pound and buying the dollar here.
You know, when you think back to the last time we saw the dollar at close to even money, for all intents and purposes, we saw corn at 350. We had beans at 870.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a headwind for trade.
It certainly would be.
All right. Well, speaking of soybeans, yes. We've got a question here from Keith on Twitter at BozTaurus101. Keith wants to know, is there any reason or what is the reason for the January to March 17 soybean spread?
Well, right now you've got the January 28 cents over the March. Pretty unheard of. And what that's telling you is that the market wants the beans. They don't want you guys to storing it, and they're going to pay you not to store the beans and to sell it to them. And I certainly suggest that they do that. Now, if you still believe there's upside open, sell them the beans, put the money in your pocket, buy some call options. You got an extra 28 cents there. Spend a dime of it and buy some calls and stay in the game. But why would you be storing beans when they're giving you 28 cents just from Jan to March to store it? That's an advantage you need to take advantage of.
Would you be just selling the Jan, buying the March, and trading that spread as inverted as it is?
No.
Okay. Why not?
It's a speculative game. I generally don't like trading spreads personally. But we've seen spreads, people see them get out and what they think is out of line, only to see them kick you right in the head. So, no, I'm not going to sit here and recommend that. Okay. But what I am going to recommend is selling those Jan beans and buying some calls.
Okay. Looking at the spread November to Jan,
yeah.
Why would you carry any beans into January, other than tax reasons, perhaps?
Taxes would be it,
okay.
In my opinion. The market wants the beans, let them have it. They're going to export them. There should still be strong demand from China despite the dollar. So give the market what it wants.
Sell the physical, re-own.
With call options.
With a call option. Okay, next question for you from Dan on Twitter, at DanDV3. Dan wants to know, the 2016 corn to soybean ratio is 2.77 to 1, while 2017 is 2.44 to 1. How should a farmer profit from that if and when they realign?
Well, I think it's probably too late. I mean, you could make some trade strategies. Mm-hmm. You can sell November beans and buy December corn, I suppose. Again, that's a speculative trade. I don't want to get my clients involved with.
Okay.
As far as a farmer, as a producer goes, if you can plant some more beans this year. Certainly the market is paying you to do that. I certainly wouldn't advise tearing up corn acres now to plant the beans. It defeats the purpose. But the fact of the matter is that corn-bean ratio has gone out to such a level that it has certainly encouraged guys where they can to plant the beans. Now, for next year, 2.4, 2.5, anywhere in that range, it's kind of a toss-up. And most guys are going to look to plant corn because that's what they want to plant. But the fact of the matter is, could it push out a little bit to make sure we get enough bean acres? It's certainly possible. I think from what we're hearing from South America is they're going to plant more corn and less beans. And with those less bean acres, that could give some impetus to higher bean prices out there. And again, you guys need to take a look at planting some beans.
And that looks at that call ownership strategy as you look into 2017 makes some real sense.
Absolutely.
If we're going to see bean acres decline potentially in South America.
Absolutely.
Now, as we talk about South America, all this turmoil in Europe drove the U.S. dollar much higher. What, if anything, has it done with the Brazilian real?
Well, you know, the Brazilian real has had its move in here, and I don't know whether we're going to be able to sustain it. They've got so many problems. I don't know how they're going to get through the Olympics. I don't know how they're going to get through the Zika virus, the Olympics, and everything, and the crime that's going on down there. I don't know how they're going to get through it all, frankly. They've got a tough road ahead of themselves. But as far as the real goes, it's really, in my opinion, kind of a toss-up here.
Okay.
I really don't have a strong opinion where it's going to go from here, but I think it's going to be as much taking its cue off the U.S. dollar as anything else.
Okay. All right. Now, finally, Mark, before we let you go, we saw crude try to make a run at that $50 for a weekly close. Obviously didn't get it, didn't stay there. Where do we go from here in the crude oil market?
There seems to be some underpinning demand in this crude. You know, the guys that were talking $20 crude turned out to be dead wrong. We put in a bottom here. Now there's some guys talking about $80 and $90 crude again. With all the uncertainty in the world, and Lord knows, I'm not sure how the Middle East is going to take all this. It can be very interesting. And certainly, with our presidential election coming up, there would be a strong bias towards one or the other candidate toward maybe higher crude oil prices, depending on who gets in here. So would I be looking to manage some energy input costs here by buying some calls on the crude? I would. I hope I can buy that crude or the oil products $30 a barrel, $20 a barrel cheaper. But if anything pops or they don't like the election or whatever can happen between now and November, the dollar, the Brexit, and all this else, I'd like to have a little security owning some oil, and I'd like to do that with a call option.
Okay. Now, Mark, before we let you go, we have been asking our analysts each week to define terms that get thrown around quite a bit when we're talking futures and options trading. Yeah. And a question that that we get quite a bit, it's an interesting concept. Could you explain for us, what is a Texas hedge?
It's the farmer's favorite trade.
Please explain that.
A Texas hedge is a colloquial term, basically, that says, I'm going to own paper and own the commodity. So I'm long the paper vis-a-vis a long futures contract or call options, and I'm long the crop. So let's say you believe that there's going to be a hot, dry summer, and you think corn prices are going to move extremely high. You've got the corn out there in the field, but I'm going to double up and buy some corn calls. That's a Texas hedge.
Yes.
We never, ever recommend that at top third.
Okay.
Some people will say, if you buy the call now, when the market rallies, you won't sell grain, but you can sell the call. Well, that's fine if it works, but if it goes the other way, and you're long the call or long futures and long the cash crop, and it goes south on you, look for your name on the auction block.
Yes,
because
it can go
in a hurry.
Go very south, very quickly.
And we don't want clients to be hurt.
No, and you mentioned it. A lot of folks have used it when they're long the crop. I've heard of a fella who was a small-time cow-calf operator who thought that that was a pretty effective way to grow the herd size. And this was in December of 2014. And it was not a great place to be long, both the physical and the paper.
No.
So
perfect example.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mark Gold, thank you so much for that definition and for all of your insight this week.
Thanks very much, Mike.
Thanks to you for all of your questions via Facebook and Twitter. Please continue to submit them, and we will get expert analysis for you every week. Thanks for watching, and have a great one.